Well, there were two brothers over in Ireland, and one of them had a cat that he loved more than life itself. He loved this cat, but he had to go away for a month over to England to work. And so he told his brother, take care of this cat. I will call you on a regular basis to make sure everything's okay. So the brother goes to England. He calls back a few days later and says, how is my cat? And the brother says, the cat is dead. And, oh, he was so upset. And he says, why did you have to tell me like that? And the brother says, well, how could I have told you differently? And he says, well, the first time I called, you could have said, well, the cat was up on the roof and that the fire trucks were there trying to save the cat. And then the next time I called, you could have said, they tried to save the cat, but the cat fell and was in the hospital and it didn't look good. And then the next time I called, you could have said that the cat passed away. And if you explained it that way, it would have been a whole lot easier to take. By the way, how's mother? And there was a long pause on the other side, and the brother says, she's up on the roof right now. So in today's gospel, we have somebody up on the roof, and it's a paralytic, and he's being let down by four friends. It's one of the greatest stories in the scripture, very interesting. Take a look at your missalette there, Mark chapter 2, the first 12 verses. It says that the Lord returned to Capernaum. It says everyone found out that he was at home. You see, the Lord was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, but once he began his public ministry, he centered his ministry around Capernaum, mostly around St. Peter's house. And this is most likely where this miracle took place, St. Peter's home. And it says it was so jam-packed that nobody could get even close to the door. The Lord was inside the house. There was so much of a crowd gathered around. Jesus was preaching the word of God to them. Four fellows show up carrying their friend who was a paralytic. And they got to the house to try to get him in to be blessed by Jesus for a healing. But there were so many hundreds of people that they couldn't get inside the house. What they didn't do was they did not give up, right? What we see here is perseverance. They were determined. They had to get their friend to see Jesus. And so they thought outside the box. They began to think, well, how can we creatively get this man in front of Jesus? And so they overcame the obstacle. They went around to the back of the house, and houses in those days were usually stone structures. The roofs were made of mud and straw and clay tiles. And so they went up the back steps, they went onto the roof, and they began to tear the roof off the house. I often wonder what Peter's mother-in-law thought about this, you know? I wonder whoever paid for the damage here, who knows? But it must have been a very amazing event. The Lord is preaching, and all of a sudden, dust begins to fall, and the hole opens up, and the rays of light shine through, and pretty soon the hole gets bigger and bigger. And then you see this fellow being lowered down by rope right in the front of the Lord. Again, it was an amazing sight to see, I'm sure. What does the scripture say? It says, when Jesus saw their faith, not the faith of the paralytic. We have no idea what his faith was like. But Jesus looked up and he saw the faith of the four friends. And because of their faith, he turned to this paralytic and he forgave his sins. See, this is a good example of why we baptize babies. Because, you know, people say, well, I'm not going to baptize my baby. I'll wait till the child is 13 or 14. They can grow up and make their own decision, right? But, see, when families bring their children for baptism, even though the baby does not know what's happening, it's the faith of the parents. It's the faith of the godparents. And because of the faith of the parents, the child is baptized. And the child then becomes a child of God. It receives sanctifying grace, has original sin washed away because of the faith of the parents. So this is a good image to use when you're talking to your friends that say, why do you all baptize babies? So it's the faith of the parents. So the Lord looks up and he sees the faith of the friends, and because of their faith, he turns and forgives the sin of the paralytic. And he says, your sins are forgiven. Remember once, I guess maybe in high school class, one of the kids said, Father, what kind of sins can a paralyzed man commit? Well, there's a whole lot of them, right? That person could be angry. Maybe they could fall into despair or lust or anger or pride or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of sins people can commit with their mind and with their heart. You could still speak, right? So a person could lie or use God's name in vain. A lot of sins a paralyzed person could commit. So the Lord turns to him and says, your sins are forgiven. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees get upset with this. And they say, this man is blaspheming because only God alone can forgive sins. Have you ever heard that? When you're talking to those outside the church, they say, well, you Catholics, why do you go to a priest for confession? Only God alone can forgive sins. And we say, amen, that's true. Only God alone can forgive sins. Jesus is God. He could forgive sins. And in fact, he even says this, to prove to you that I, the Son of Man, have authority on earth to forgive sins, he turns to the paralytic and says, rise, pick up your mat, and go home. So Jesus worked a visible miracle to show he had the power to work the invisible miracle of the forgiving of this man's sins. See, they couldn't see the man's sins forgiven, but they could see a paralyzed man walking again. And so Jesus, as God, has that authority. He says, I, the Son of Man, have authority on earth to forgive sins. And so he works this miracle of the body to show he had the power to heal the soul. Now, when you're talking to your friends of other faiths and they say, well, where is it in the Bible that Jesus gave that authority to the apostles to forgive sins? You then take him to John chapter 20, verse 20, the night of the resurrection. Jesus appeared to the apostles and says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And he breathed his spirit upon them and said, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, whose sins you hold bound are held bound. So those apostles were given that power to forgive sins in the name of Jesus. It is God who forgives the sins, but he uses the priests, the apostles, the bishops, to be his instrument, his channel of forgiveness. So God alone forgives sins, but he can forgive sins through the instrument of the priest. And that's the power that Jesus had, and that's the power that he gave to the apostles, who in turn gave it to the bishops, all the way down to the priests of the Catholic Church today. So now we have this man completely cured, miraculously, instantaneously cured. He picks up his mat, and so he stands up, so his legs are healed, his arms are healed, and he walks out the door. He doesn't go back the way he came, right? He walks, and the crowds part, and they let him walk right through. And it says they all rejoiced, and it said they have never seen anything like this. I think how we can apply this to our life is that each of us, we all know spiritually paralyzed people, right? People that don't go to church, they don't go to confession, they're spiritually paralyzed, and we have to bring them. It might mean you have to pick them up and physically bring them to church, right? Or bring them to confession. This is called evangelization. We have to share the faith with others. We have to be able to befriend loved ones and family members and others and neighbors, make friends with them, so then you can bring them closer to God. See, this gospel is all about friendship, the faith of these four friends that cared so much about their paralyzed buddy that they were willing to overcome obstacles, they were willing to persevere just so Jesus could heal him. So friendship is so important. So reach out to your neighbors, reach out to those at work, and try to then bring them closer to God. Many of them really are spiritually paralyzed. So how do you jumpstart their faith? You know, if they're paralyzed, how do you really get them interested in the Lord? Well, first you have to pray for them. That's the most important thing. Pray for them. Develop the friendship, because that's so important to have that friendship factor is so important. And then perhaps give them a holy card or a little pamphlet, a CD, like one of the CDs out in the vestibule. Give them one of them. That can be the catalyst to reignite their faith and get them back to church. Invite them to a Bible study, a guest speaker, a prayer group. Invite them to RCIA. Just bring them along to Mass or some other social function here at the church. Maybe give them a miraculous medal. The medal of the Blessed Mother has been known to be used by the Lord as a channel of special graces to bring people back to the church and back to the sacraments. So our job is to make friends with those that are outside the church, all those that are spiritually paralyzed, and to overcome any obstacle to bring them to the Lord. And once we bring them to the Lord, He'll take it from there.